Australian Bible Church, a Presbyterian church presenting Christ. The focus of faith, foundation of life, the essence of salvation, who requires reception more than any staticky broadcast, with clarity, by having the heart tuned to such reception. Today, grace has means, messengers, and vast content. Grace has means, are means of grace. Messengers to those who show its nature. And there's vast content, its actual nature. The things which it embraces. Now, we'll be looking at a number of scriptures, but the first group of them I call the grace chain. Have you ever thought much about Gabriel? Prior to the death of Christ and the sending of the Holy Spirit in that particular intimacy, Gabriel figured four interesting times in one packet. He figured in Daniel, where he revealed enormous knowledge of things to come, including that the loving God would send his everlasting Son, who would bear the sins of humanity insofar as each one concerned believed. Told his death date with precision. That's something that I think every knowledgeable Christian should have under his thumb. That is to say, through memory, for reproduction on occasion. I first heard of it in, I think it was a place called Ocean Grove. I think it was in New Jersey during my scholarly time at Westminster Seminary. To Daniel, Gabriel is mentioned as giving knowledge. A whole lot of things would happen. Daniel had been given much more knowledge. Daniel was given colossal knowledge. Thoroughly to understand Daniel aright would take and does take immense application. There are ever so many ways, as in a circuitous route, where you can go astray. But it is there and it is clear. Then Gabriel was again used in speaking to Zechariah about the coming birth of John the Baptist. And Gabriel was again used in speaking to Mary direct, saying that that holy thing which will be begotten in you will be called the Son of God. In other words, if you want to use an acronym, K-P-R-E-P, PREP, just like the ordinary abbreviation of abbreviation, with a K in front of it. Knowledge came to Daniel. Preparation came to Elizabeth, John the Baptist leading the way to Christ. And product, the production, Mary. I was just speaking today to somebody about the Lord and trying to set her straight on a few points, and in the mercy of God she listened and agreed. She was saying, I am the producer of my child. She wasn't going to have God as the producer. But God gave it to me to say to her, No, you must go back further. Either God or nothing made everything, nothing's impossible, therefore God did, and God made the system. You plus your child. Oh, yes. I said, you've got to take everything in its setting, in its place, in its meaning. And she accepted that, and I was so thrilled. She asked me what I did believe, and I told her, right down the line, as I conceive myself still a minister in the Presbyterian Church of America, I didn't change from its doctrinal creed. It did. I remain, really, perhaps one of the very few who are still members of a valid organization and one that has, therefore, power in matters which concern its failure to keep to what God says, what the Bible says, what the Westminster Confession says, is our limits. There are limits for what you can speak in the name of Christ and in the name of a church. And those limits are these. One, what the Bible says. Two, what may be deduced certainly from it. That's it. When the Presbyterian Church in America departed from that and said, you can also believe in this idea and that days don't mean days and that this and that and the other, it ceased to be valid. I did not. And I wrote at length concerning the whole matter. I say this because there is unfortunately a whole cadre, a whole group of people who say, well, I believe in Christ and it doesn't matter whether I believe in the Bible or not. I mean, certainly the Bible's not true here and not true there. Rubbish! I'd like to hear of one place where the Bible is not true. Thank you very much. I have, after all, spent 30 years writing on this and allied topics, amongst other things, of course. Knowledge, Daniel. Preparation, Elizabeth, speaking to Zechariah. And production, Mary. So that's the Gabriel grouping. Next we come to the deity deposit. Jesus the Christ. We turn our eyes up and now a couple of thousand years to our present time and then look back to the actual day of Christ. Over 600 years from Daniel and a couple of thousand years back from us. It's what I call the deity deposit as we look at grace as means, messengers, and vast content. As I look at the deity deposit, that is, what came through Mary as mother, but from God as father, I consider the aspects of the matter, the aspects of his deity in the realm of majesty. Not everyone has majesty. Some people have the implements of majesty. But to have actual majesty, which adorns and exhibits your nature, and therefore doesn't have to be put on, acted, or played out, that is precisely what Christ had in his messianic presentation. Majesty and a certain grandeur. Rich clothes? No. Marvelous means of conveyance? No. Vast armies at his disposal? No. That's not grandeur. Grandeur is a quality of spirit, not a stuttering, muttering uncertainty and wondering. Grandeur. It was innate. His knowledge, his power, his presence, his answer to every listed challenge was always with majesty, even if the majesty was on the cross where it reached its sublime height. Secondly, as I look at the deity deposit in this grace, which has means, messengers, and vast content at present occupation, I consider his inexhaustible power. Oh, I'm tired, dear. I'm afraid I can't do one more thing. No, I'm tired. I can't fight this fire any longer. My heart will burst. No. With Christ, even if he goes away to lament the loss of John the Baptist and the loss of this vast morning star pointing directly at him as the Son of God, no. People want the help, so they get it, and they get it then, as soon as he's reached his place. His inexhaustible power. The question is saying, look, be reasonable. I can't be expected to. I've already healed 1,055 people. You can't expect me to go on. I'm not a machine. Never. His unvarying power. His inimitable, his unchanging precision, rather. Whenever Christ healed, millions and billions, or all major cases at any rate, millions and billions and trillions of connections have to be adjusted. The genetic reality has to be replaced or so renovated that it is a work of entirely unvarying precision. Every healing involves up to trillions of connections. And they work, and therefore they're right, they're put right. Consider the facts. It would be a great change for many. And then his illimitable wisdom. You might say, no, you're wrong. He said that the Son of Man didn't know the day and when he'd come back. See, he didn't know that. Wrong. John 16 tells us that this, all that the Father has is mine. Get that. Some of the Father has is mine. Most of what the Father has is mine. No, all that the Father has is mine. That solves it. That means that Christ as Messiah had to give up much glory and much power and was given those things were appropriate to a messianic ministry. And of course were ineradicable because of who he was. But to remove certain things was part of his humiliation, which was part of his salvation, because what was to be offered as a sacrifice had to be pure, without any luxuries. All that the Father has is mine. So it was available but not called on. It was his. With some people, you say, some tennis player, some golf player, some cricket player, oh, this person, his skills, her skills, it's beyond the norm. It's beyond the norm. With Christ, it's beyond the abnormal. You go into the areas which are staggering in their immensity, the abnormal, the unusual, the extraordinary. But that's way behind. He is beyond the extraordinary, beyond the abnormal. He was in a genre, an area, a place of power. As if someone who walked suddenly got in to a Spitfire or some other aeroplane. Unthinkable. But this is more than unthinkable. It is literally unthinkable. Because to know how this is done, you'd have to know God's ways and not just God's being. Furthermore, in terms of the deity deposit, the aim of all the purposes and proposals was divine. The aim itself was a divine aim. It left those whose hearts hold desire to his side forever. Those whose hearts, right back in foreknowledge, chosen in Christ, having made peace with the blood of the cross, he desired all things, yes, all things, heaven and earth, to be reconciled to him. What do you need more than clarity to understand? So the aim was to leave those whose hearts held the desire foreknown to his side forever. And his aim was also to disband and disempower those who preferred to rule their lives with their own unruliness. You want unruliness? Visit this world. You'll see it in spectacular display. And thirdly, we come to the opening splendor as we continue to look at grace as the means, the messengers, and vast content. In Revelation 12:13, which we should look up, now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to earth, he persecuted the woman. So the serpent spewed the water out of his mouth like a flood, but the earth helped the woman. The earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. But much more effectively, we read these words. And I love them. They're in chapter 11. So I read the 12 successor to this verse. But in chapter 11, verse 15, I just love this verse. Then the seventh angel sounded. Remember, this is not the end. Oh no, there are many things to happen in Revelation. It exposes them in order very often. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms, remember from the Messiah, some of you? And the kingdoms of this world have become. That's the point. Not will become, have become. What is the meaning of this? And the kingdoms of this world have become, and the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. In other words, the structure of what is to come is certain. The essential content of what is to come is certain. The nature and character of what is to come is experienceable in its essence. The whole thing is given. It's just that it's still in the post as far as the finish of the revelation through history, when that's occurred, then we will see the results of the power of the resurrection in place on the menu to be eaten. The opening splendor, it's called. What does this resemble? This resembles the takeoff from the USA of the aircraft bearing the atomic bomb. I believe it was called the Dorian Gray. Though the journey is long from its construction in Las Alamos to Nagasaki and Hiroshima, though the journey is long, it is planned. Had been for years. Prepared. Was for years. And backed the resources in European intellect. Those who came from Europe to the USA to ensure the downfall of Hitler. The resources in American intellect. The resources in American industrial power and organizational ability. The capacity to cooperate. These were vast, almost beyond consideration. That was before it. Just as the same sort of thing at a much higher level was present before the creation of all the bits, the little bits that only required far more than man's mathematical ability to have them put in place, away from the dogma of nonsensical evolution. An absolute disgrace to the human race to imagine that the greatest things came from nowhere, or to try and give nowhere other names by deceit, whether intentional or not. Applied resources. That was the thing. Speed in getting them ready before hundreds of thousands more American soldiers might have been killed on the islands in the Pacific. In a war they didn't ask for. And then there was the second bomb. Some people take a lot of convincing. It takes two bombs in their lives to shatter enough of their self-regard to make them willing to kneel before Christ. It really is the exact opposite of what's happening in England. In England now, you read of a disengagement from Christ and Christianity, which, whilst not total, to my mind at least, is prodigious on all sides. And Australia is not much better, if any. When I was a young minister, I was teaching in 8 primary schools as an extra, bringing the gospel and the knowledge of the Bible. For if you're going to have education, is it possible that you could dare to tell what's in the Bible without bothering to put in a whole lot of stuff that you want to add because you feel like it? Isn't it possible? But no, it's not going to be done, and it isn't being done. And the most effectual book in the world's history, certainly the most sold, thus becomes a matter of ignorance of the most shameful, unscholarly, shocking character, so that the nation is allowed to become an ignoramus place, a place where you don't know the elements, the realities, a place of utter abomination. It's not all like that. There are Christians, but the descent, how many primary schools would I be teaching if I were a young minister now? It's no longer desirable. We prefer to be an ignoramus nation. And in this are fast being joined by England, as I've been noting. And I'm saying what's happening in England is the exact opposite of what happened here. in this verse that we're looking at. There, the kingdoms flushed, like the release of a lake, flushed into the world. Now it's hushed in the world. It's not quite nice to depart from, as Peter points out, depart from partying and drunkenness and reviling and vengeance and vindictiveness and destruction and agony and agony and agony of mind, spirit and body, and inflicting it by the million, and making more means of inflicting it in more ways for more time with more disaster. Need we go on? With Christ, the exact opposite. In what way? His return has now been fulfilled in nearly every way specified in the Bible, in particular in Zechariah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Micah, the Psalms, and so on. It's all laid out there with the splendor of an architect, an engineer, and the mathematician all joined together, all working out, not a single thing contradicting the masses of data supplied regarding what will be the signs of his coming. The rushing into sight at a prodigious level just since my birth. I've been in one of the most radical, tremendous overflows of prophetic fulfillment. I have been most fortunate, and so have you who have lived as long. What is it like then? It is rather like the rebellious world as it seeks to confront God. A mangy mouse confronting a lion. But the results are very different. It's really a lion confronting a mangy mouse. This lion, this rock, this shepherd, this door, this entry, John 10:9, I am the door, said Jesus Christ, not somebody else, not somebody without the qualifications. By me, if any man enter, he shall be saved. If you specialize at all in having troubles about the assurance of salvation, remember, to manage that, you have to contradict Christ. I am the door. All right, that's clear. You get into the kingdom through him. By me, yeah, it has to be through him, not some substitute. If any man enter, yes, you can enter through Christ. He invites you. He asks you to receive him. That's another splendiferous theological stunt. He shall be saved. Can you hear that? Some who may be listening. You shall be saved. How does it tally up with you just possibly might not? That's calling him a liar. You shall be saved. And not only so, there will be a substantial amount of historical happenings and shall go in and out and find pasture. So this is the one. And one of the beauties of him, it's all so consistent. So consistent. If we turn now to the chapter 19 of Revelation, it indicates that his name nobody knows but himself. His name nobody knows but himself. This is a majestic proposition that you read in Revelation 19. Where it refers to the marriage of the Lamb, when all the saints are taken as it were, as if a wife. His eyes, verse 12 of Revelation 19, as he comes in what is the second coming, or its finalization, his eyes were like a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. He had a flame, a name written, hello, that no one knew except himself. That's the glorious consistency. You can't look at God as you look at a machine, or even as a universe, to see how it's all organized. And I often laugh at the presumption of many scientists who seem to imagine that when there's a scientific law, they made it. God made it, they found it. Look, Mummy, I found the Easter egg. Does that mean that she put the Easter egg there? There are some things which are such a defilement of intellect as make you realize how blind is the blindness of which those who are blind spiritually speaking when they refuse Christ. No one knew the name. How could they? The name. The characteristics by which you can chart one of these things and make it. You can't know it. It's God. And that glorious matter is part of the opening splendor of Jesus Christ. Understanding itself. The capacity to understand anything comes from God. I was reading the other day that babies, when they're born, show a marked preference for the language of their family. In other words, in the womb they have been busy having certain orientations, and those orientations have made them to have a preferred potential of their native language. Learning ability, understanding ability also. These are gifts. We don't have them because I am I. I have always... it's not in my character not to learn. What rubbish. Where did you come from? A mother-child system? How far back and where did it begin and why? Began with nothing. There's nothing to it. I always loved to laugh with Shakespeare. Much ado about nothing. That's applicable in more fields than one is applicable here. But the faculty of understanding, that's not nothing. Turn to Ephesians 2, verse 8. Ephesians 2. Get used to that, Ephesians. It's very deep and challenging indeed. Ephesians 2, 5 to 8 really, but we'll look at 8. Or 7. In him we have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, just as the name is known by none but himself, the genesis of his love is not there. It's always there, so there's no genesis of it, that is, of his love, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Oh yes, there is a unity. There's a unity in the scientific laws, there's a unity in logic, there's a unity in real love, which doesn't stop at having sexual excitation instead of the adventure of an invitation to realize what it was all made for. Do you imagine such equipment was made for some reason or other than its due use so that those who sponsored and part of whose selves is in the physical part of it should ignore it and excite the dynamo every now and again instead of having it work and the whole matter built. In whom we have inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to his will. That's Ephesians 1, but my reference to you, that gives you a background, was Ephesians 2. Even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive. Well, death to life is always impressive. It shows that you know what you're talking about, and life is under your thumb, ultimately. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved. That's in a bracket. But don't forget that this was done by grace. It wasn't some sort of cooperation. And raised us up together and made us sit together. Sit. In other words, the labor is done. The position is there. The status is secure. We're seeing that a lot today. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches. Ah, that sums up a lot of what I'm saying this morning. The exceeding riches of his grace. Let's say it again. The exceeding riches of his grace. In his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. The Greek makes it clear that the word that is not referring to faith, it can't, grammatically. It refers to the entire statement. By grace you have been saved by faith, and your being saved by faith is not of yourselves, is the Greek meaning, and it cannot be otherwise. It is the gift of God. It is the gift of God. Since it's the gift of God, what part of it did you make? It is the gift of God. Amen. Now, Heavenly Father, we do praise thee for this glorious riches of grace, for this marvelous certainty of Scripture, for this profundity of the gift of God, for the reality of the grace which simply adopts, not a child as some parents do, but by grace the salvation in the kingdom comes in as an entrance. That's how you have to come in, to become a child of grace. Amen and amen.